brains.
Hey, Jared, are you doing all right? Maybe you just have a bad fever. Let me take your temperature really quick. Shut up, Becky. We don't even know if he's infected yet, right?
No, actually, I'm just feeling a little hungover. I had too many Mai Tais. Also, brains.
Mai Tais and brains. That is the drink of choice here at the Indie Film Review.
Oh, man. Hey, everybody. This is the Indie Film Review, as Dan said. That's Dan.
Hi.
Hey, Dan. I'm Jared.
Hi.
Thanks, Jared. This is a show where we like to review independent films.
Ooh, baby.
So that's what we're going to do, because we like to do it. And it's fun for us, because we're sick and twisted.
And this week, Jared found a film on Amazon Prime.
That's right.
Called Zombie with a Shotgun.
Now, I wouldn't say found, because this was actually sent to us.
Oh, was it?
There wasn't a request for us to review it, but they did send it to us. So
who
I don't
sent
know
it
if
to
that
us?
The Zombie with the Shotgun people.
Really?
Their Twitter account, they sent it to us, so I don't know if they meant for us to do this, but this is what we're doing, so I don't know. So we're here to review Zombie with a Shotgun.
Yeah, and let us be clear that we're going to review the feature film that is based off of the web series, not the web series itself. So we don't really have any kind of connection to the web series. We don't know what goes on in the web series. We just know what we saw in the short 79-minute feature, Zombie with a Shotgun.
Just before we started recording, I did kind of skim through the web series a bit. Just to see if I could gleam anything. I don't know if that's the right word. From the movie. And it looks like there are a lot of references to the web series that I didn't get while watching the film. Mm. So it's kind of like a nice little thing of like, hey, if you watch the web series, you're going to get some shit in the film. That'll make more sense.
So, I mean, I guess it goes without saying that if the title, Zombie with a Shotgun, turns you on, maybe give it a watch.
Well, okay. You say that. Dan, what? We're doing questions now.
Yes.
Dan.
Wait, am I supposed to get an elevator pitch first?
Dan.
Yes.
Please give us your elevator pitch for...
So, there's this dude named Aaron, and he is infected, with some nondescript disease that is... has nothing to do with zombification by any definition of the word. And he is being hunted down by multiple parties and is trying to find where his allegiance lies. And he just wants to escape it all with his girlfriend, basically.
And the witch.
And the witch! Who can forget the witch? Oh god, guys,
there's a lot of shit going on.
There's so much happening in this movie.
So here's my question to you,
yes,
my good friend. When you see a title like Zombie with a Shotgun, and you see the poster for this film, do you expect the type of film that you got?
No, absolutely not.
What do you expect?
Things like Hobo with a Shotgun, things like, you know, the Grindhouse films. Here's what I wanted to bring up. Like, what you just asked me, I kind of had, like, the same exact feeling. And I wanted to ask you the same thing. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like out of all the zombie films that we watch on this podcast, at least, there's something crucial that is missing from each one of the zombie films. So we watched The Dead Don't Die, and we watched Zombie with a Shotgun. Now, this film is missing the key component of a zombie film. And what do you think that is?
Zombies?
Yes, but what else?
I don't know.
Typically, zombie films are about, like, you know, the whole world's gone to shit. Zombies are everywhere. That's a given, right? Mm-hmm. But where the narrative comes in zombie films is from the characters.
Yes.
Right? And how they persevere through this time period. Zombie with a Shotgun is not about zombies, and it really feels to me like, forgive me, But the director, Hilton Ariel Ruiz, is just like, and then this happens. And then this happens. And then this happens without any care to connect some of the crucial details. And that might be because he was trying to condense the web series into a 79-minute feature. Or it might just be mediocre writing. I don't know. It felt off.
Usually when you're telling a story, there's like maybe... There's only like several different ways you can really formulate a story. And I feel like this movie... There's, like, no goal for the characters?
Exactly.
I don't know...
Exactly. There was not...
What the real plot is.
I could not ascertain any kind of completion mission for this movie.
They're not trying to help the main character who has the disease. They're just trying to run away perpetually from people who are chasing them while they just slowly wait for him to turn into a Zambo. But then that never happens because there are things going on that we'll talk about in spoilers... Many things that are going on.
Jared, I have so many questions for you.
Okay, give me a question.
First question. Flashbacks. Helping or hurting?
Some of the flashbacks were actually really good.
Okay.
And I like them. Others were not good only because some of the shooting locations were a bit silly. Like there's a flashback with someone's dad. And they have this tiny-ass bed, and he's, like, sick. And they're like, here, let me put you in this tiny-ass child's bed. And he's a grown-ass man. That kind of took me out of it. Sometimes the characters, I don't know if they're reading from a script. It seems like they're kind of just freeform going, because they'll just start saying things over and over again that have already been established.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of start talking in circles, like we do on the podcast.
Yes.
That was a big issue for me in this film, is the characters would... You have Aaron... And, let me get the characters here. You have Aaron and Rachel, who are the two main characters. Aaron's the guy turning into a zombie.
And Rachel's budget, Scarlett Johansson.
And you have Angela, the witch, who is...
Was that Angela?
And the witch is budget Aubrey Plaza.
Were the witch and Angela the same person?
No, they're different people.
Now, okay, so kind of going back to my question about whether the flashbacks help or hurt...
Sure.
The flashback in which we see Rachel's dad, do you think that went on for way too long?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. It was conveying interesting stuff, but then it absolutely went on for way too long.
Now,
but
next
what
question.
I wanted to say too, but before your questions, I'm sorry, is that like you have these two characters, Aaron and Rachel, and they go to one scene, Aaron's like, I'm becoming infected. And Rachel goes, but I love you, and I want to stay with you. He's like,
no, you should leave me. No, I got to correct right there.
You have to go.
I have to correct you right there. Aaron doesn't, like, maybe he says I'm infected once, but the entire first, I don't know, 30 minutes of the film are Rachel questioning whether Aaron is infected when he obviously is. Like, the makeup all over his face is like, I'm fucking infected. And Rachel's like, are you sure he's infected? I don't know. We got to get him out of here.
Yeah, and then they just move to a different location and do that scene again. And then again, and then again, and then again.
Yes, yes.
And unfortunately, that's the whole film. Okay, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Okay, so if you had to retitle this film, Jared, what would you title it?
Guy with a Disease Who Eventually Gets a Shotgun Sometimes.
So a long title like me. Ready? Here's mine. Zombie with a Shotgun, comma, or How I Can't Stop Having Sex with My Infected Boyfriend.
How I Learned to Start Having Sex with My Infected Boyfriend.
Yeah, you're right.
We were promised in the opening scene a really cool zombie special effects makeup of this dude who looks like a zombie.
Oh,
and he's got a shotgun.
I don't know how I feel about that. We may have to dive right into that whenever it comes to spoilers, because I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay. And then the rest of the film is nothing like that. It becomes, you're looking for like a horror film, maybe even a horror comedy, and this film gives you, this is a straight up drama.
Mm-hmm.
Through and through drama, with rape, lots of sex, it's a sexy drama. You got Aubrey Plaza witch, who's doing some sexy witch shit. I don't fucking know what's going on, but I like it. Does it connect to the plot? Who cares? There's some boobies. And then that's the film. There's some intrigue and some other things, but like, not a lot of zombies, not a lot of shotguns. It's more of him walking around. I don't know. I really just wanted it to start with, he is a zombie. He has some cognitive ability, and he has a shotgun, and he has one singular mission. Make it revenge. Make it, you know, saving a loved one. Do something to make us care about what's going on. Then he goes on a rampage to fucking murder everyone he meets that gets in his way. That should have been the film. And we got this. I don't know.
And it's worth mentioning that this film was very hard to follow. There were a bunch of scenes that were just intercut into the narrative that made you go, what? And were never expanded upon.
Yes. Okay. I have a question for you, Dan.
Yes.
What are the good points of the film? Because I feel like we've been really ragging on it, so let's talk about some good stuff.
I enjoyed the acting. The acting was, like, it depended on the character. There were a couple characters that were like, eh, but most of the characters were, like, really on point and doing a good job. I really wanted, and I'll say I did, enjoy the lore, but I want it to be explained to me better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a really good idea with how the zombies are created, and I feel like it can be in its own movie, but it's never really explored that well in this film.
Well, it's because this is not a complete film.
Right.
Because of how it ends, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
Because you can still make a sequel to a film and have a conclusion.
So I am very interested in how the zombies are created. It's kind of like a T-virus type thing. I'm into that kind of... that trope, I guess, but it doesn't help that it ends early.
Well, I think the creators treated this film like a big web series episode, and I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
They should have treated it like a feature film from start to finish. And because nobody likes a fucking cliffhanger.
Yeah.
When's the last time you've seen a movie with a cliffhanger in it?
Last night.
I can't even think of one.
When I watched this one.
God damn it. I was like, oh no, he's gonna show me up. He's gonna be like, no, there's a lot of fucking cliffhanger movies, big dummy. You ever watch Cliffhanger? That's got a cliffhanger in it. You're like, oh boy.
So, Jared, let's get into it proper, because I think we have a lot of things to talk about here.
We're gonna spoil this film. We're gonna spoil this film. Okay.
Here's problem numero uno. There's a lot of going on, but we're going to jump straight to the ending.
There's a lot of going on.
Now, Jaren mentioned at the very beginning, you get this amazing zombie makeup, and you're like, fuck yeah, he's a shotgun, you want to see it, and then it flashes back to 6 months earlier.
And then the budget just...
Anyway, so here's the problem with the ending. You saw what you know what you're going to get, and you're like, fuck yeah, I want to see it. And what happens in the film, Jared? What happens?
They cut to that scene from the very beginning with the zombie with the shotgun, and then the movie is over.
There
is no more after that scene.
Before that. Before the movie's over, what happened? To the zombie makeup, specifically. I'll give it to you, and then I'm going to ask your opinion.
Okay.
Instead of seeing this amazing sequence with amazing special effects makeup, we get an animated sequence where he beats the shit out of the people who are chasing him.
Well, during that scene, he does that animated sequence. He doesn't even have his cool special effects makeup on.
That's
he
what I'm saying. We get what the zombie looks like, and then as soon as we get to the part with the zombie, it's just taken away from us, and we just get an animated sequence. That kind of made me
mad. Darken his face, which was weird. They completely darken his face, I don't know why, to make him look like a ninja, I guess. And then they do an animated thing, like what you're saying, which is, I don't know, I wasn't into that at all. I can see maybe they did that for budgetary reasons.
Absolutely.
But...
Well, that's the only reason they did that, but I didn't mind looking at that guy's makeup. I thought it was good. And they did pretty well earlier in the film with some gunplay, like, you know, within their budget and how it looked. You don't need to have perfect, you know, Hollywood action gunplay to make a film. Like, you can have shitty, you know, amateur gunplay And I still am going to be, oh, that was awesome. Because, like, think about old Westerns. You know, that's pretty much shitty amateur gunplay the entire time. You don't see bullets, you just see things reacting to bullets.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just grumpy.
I was pretty disappointed with the way this film went. I mean, if this is the creator's intent, I can understand that. It's just, I feel like I was switcherooed pretty hard. And then, I really wanted to like this film.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was on board. I was like, okay, this is not what I expected, but I am following the journey of these two characters going to do something. I was hoping they were going to eventually go do a thing. But the film kept hitting me with these roadblocks of, like, stop enjoying this film over and over and over again. Say, with the animation that you just talked about, with some of the weird cuts of, like, characters. Like, this girl, she gets attacked by a bunch of these people. I think it's Aaron's sister. She hides behind a curtain, and these bad guys show up in the house, and they're looking for her, and then she just kind of, like, opens the curtain and then walks to the house. She goes, oh, no, she's getting away. Okay. There's only, like, one way to enter and exit this room.
There is a bunch of stupidity in exactly how you describe. There's, like, henchmen let people go for no reason. One of the things that I picked up on is whenever a character doesn't matter anymore, they just kind of walk off screen.
Well, characters will show up, and I have no idea who these characters are. Like, hold on. Let me get this one guy's name. Let's talk about the scene where Aaron finally gets his shotgun, right?
Yeah.
We have Aaron and Rachel. They're both in some warehouse somewhere, and they're hiding out, and Rachel calls her friend, and her friend's like, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm a doctor or whatever. She's like, I'm going to take a look at you. And she's like, he's definitely infected. And Rachel, of course, is like, no, we don't even know if he's infected.
Yeah,
like,
she says we don't even know if he's infected when clearly the entire film he's infected.
Yeah. So then two cops show up. They're like, hey, we're the cops. And they're like, we're going to take out the zombie. And then, but he's like, but we have strict orders not to kill any zombies. And this is a continuous loop that the police go through throughout this entire film where they keep saying, we're going to kill these zombies, but also we cannot kill these zombies. And I'm just like, what is going on right now with these cops? So then this guy shows up out of nowhere. No introduction.
The detective dude?
Yes, Mr. Ross. He's like, hi, it's me, Mr. Ross. And he was like, Mr. Ross, you're here to save us. Oh, please, Mr. Ross. And he's like, gives a weird long monologue about Aaron's dad. Everybody knows Aaron's dad. I don't know why. All these different characters know Aaron's dad, and they want to tell him all about Aaron's dad in Vietnam. And I'm like, there's something interesting here, but the way this is being conveyed to us is so strange.
That's what I'm saying.
Because if strangers come up to me and just start talking to me about my dad, maybe if one guy does that, okay. But if everyone does that, I'm like, what the fuck?
That's my large point. There's something here that's really interesting about the lore. But, okay, so one of my favorite aspects about the lore was it is whatever's causing this infection is being made by this overseas pharmaceutical company. That scene where you figure that out is a meeting between Aaron and the overseas pharmaceutical company in an abandoned warehouse in New York City.
Mm-hmm. But what about the witch lady, though? What's her deal?
I don't know. I started to ignore her.
They hint at the witch lady somehow can control the zombies because she's like the mother of the zombies.
Yeah.
So I'm like, does the big pharma company own the witch lady? Is this actual virus not man-made? It's some kind of magical occult black magic thing? Because that shit is in the film. I just don't know how it connects. There's a part where Aubrey Plaza lookalike rips out Aaron's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. And then it just... So, like, whenever there's scenes that they don't know where it's going to go, like that one scene I just said where we have Aaron and Rachel, the two cops, and Mr. Ross, who I don't think we ever see again, or I don't remember.
No, you don't.
He grabs one of their shotguns, fires, like, once at them, and then it just fades to black. And then now we're in a completely different scene. And that happens so often. It even happens when someone is chasing them, like that bounty hunter, remember? The guy with the long hair. He's like, I'm chasing you. They, like, I don't know, kick him in the nuts. Fades to black. They're running. They go to the next scene, and then he's there again. And I'm like, why did we even fade to black? Like, he's just there again. I don't know.
I have a question.
What's happening?
There's a scene here that I want to talk about. So there's this scene where some dude has Rachel hostage.
Oh, the rape scene.
And a zombie comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intercut with Aaron and the dude who is a zombie back to back. He's not a zombie in this weird.
Oh, that was a cool little special effect thing. It was like weird lighting. Like,
yeah, it was cool, but I had no fucking idea what was going on.
No idea. So I did a little research.
Because at the end, well, let me finish it. At the end of that scene, the zombie who just appears walks out of the film again. Like, everybody who's done with the film, they make a point to let them have a, I'm going to let you walk away, and you are no longer here.
To be fair, I think Aaron is, like, sleeping, and then he wakes up and shoots it with a shotgun, and then goes back to sleep. I don't know. So I think what's going on there is that zombies can mind meld with each other. Like, they can think each other's thoughts somehow, and it's all connected to the mother, who is the witch woman. And she can, like, control them to make them do things.
Mind melding reminds me of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Seriously. I guess the witch lady is, like, making the main character, Aaron, do things without him understanding why, so he can go meet the pharma people. It's not... None of that is explained. There's too much going on in this movie. Either you have a witch lady or a pharma company. I don't know. Or make them be a little more cohesive, because I really don't get the connections at all. That's the problem with cliffhangers, because he's like, I'm setting all these things up. It's like Lost, season one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, some of this is interesting. Let's see. Then you get to season two, and you're like, hey, what's in the hatch? And then you find out, and you're like, ah, this is not great. And then you just stop watching, like everyone else in America. Because you're like, oh, that payoff was not good. It's because they have all these setups, but they don't actually know how it's going to end. Because they haven't written it yet.
Right.
So, I don't know. Boy, oh boy.
Jared, there is an interesting fact that I got out of this film. Maybe it's not a fact. It's a fact that pertains to this film only. But it's a question that I couldn't ask at the beginning of the podcast because it might have contained spoilers. I just want to know your opinion about this.
Sure.
So why does Aaron always get in the backseat of the car when they drive away?
I don't know. It's like she's the Uber driver and he doesn't know her, even though they're in a relationship. Oh, after they have that, finally he gets the shotgun scene and they have that intense fight, then they both fuck. That lady actually has sex with the zombie guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know he's a zombie. This is really dangerous.
And then there's a really weird scene. Okay, so after the rape scene, I'm assuming that... Just tell me if my logic is flawed here. There's a scene later in the film where Rachel kills a guy randomly. Was that the guy that raped her?
Yes, okay. It was. She goes back and kills him. Yeah.
That was a weird scene because I'm like, who the fuck was that she just killed? Because, like, they're about to leave and she's like, hold on a second. And she finds, like, he's hidden away in this trailer somewhere. And she opens it up. He's right there. And she's like, boom. I'm like, okay, how the fuck
Well, he says something nasty like, hey, are you here for round two or something?
Yeah, he's like, you want a second date, baby?
Hey, you know, I think that role would be perfect for you, Dan, like casting-wise. I feel like you look like the type of guy who would be living in a storage
reliving in
unit.
A trailer, like raping women. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dirty mattress on the floor.
God.
Just waiting for a sexy lady to walk into your warehouse. Okay. Anyway.
Cat call her immediately, even though I find out where she is.
Absolutely. So there's one character we haven't talked about yet. She is actually the real main character, and her name is Nikki. Nikki the zombie.
Nikki the is this cleavage zombie?
Yes, it is cleavage zombie. What is the relation between cleavage zombie and all of the cops and people that interact with her?
I don't know.
To the rest of the film. I cannot tell.
Because all she does is, like, give puppy dog eyes and, like, get really close to people and, like, think that she wants to mate with them and then goes away.
I don't understand what the point was. I mean, I guess it was to, like, fake out the cops thinking, like, oh, we have to kill this zombie. And it's like, oh, wait, she really just wants help. And I'm like, okay, but who the fuck is this lady? Who the fuck are these cops? None of these people are, like, main characters. I don't know who any of these characters are. So it's like, what are we doing? It was strange. That's what I'll say. I don't know why it was in the film. But Nikki, MVP.
I'm reading a lot of these 10-star reviews on IMDb.
I don't know.
So many of them are praising it for making sense.
Really?
Like, the storyline makes sense.
I don't know what the fuck's going on in this movie.
Like, that's really... The storyline is cool, but to me and to you, Jared, it doesn't make sense.
Do you know how long it took for us to actually see a actual legit zombie with a shotgun in this film?
It had to have been, what, like, it's an hour and 19 minutes, so an hour and 14 minutes?
You were so close. An hour and 13 minutes.
Yeah, he's in the last 5 minutes of the film and that's it.
And not counting the little teaser in the beginning where they show that. The rest of the film is not about zombies with shotguns. Oh, I had like one more thing I wanted to get to. Well, here we go. Here's some rapid fire questions for you, Dan.
Yes, please.
Who did the bounty hunter work for?
I have no fucking idea.
What's up with that witch lady, Angela?
She has two purposes, and one is to...
be sexy.
To make Aaron move his right arm back and forth. And also to stimulate two separate women with boobs.
Hell yeah. Where the fuck did Rachel go? She just disappears halfway through.
Again,
the film.
What did I tell you? This film is just like, hey, we don't need you anymore. Just walk very carefully off camera and then you're good.
Was Rachel really lying about things? Because people keep pointing out that she's lying. And she's like, I'm not lying. I'm like, what would she be lying about?
That would make sense because of the way she treats Aaron the entire time. No, you're not infected. I mean, we don't even know if you're infected.
If she's like a courier to bring him to the meeting, that would make more sense. But then why would the people at the meeting blow her cover? I just feel like the way the pharma company went about doing all of this. Okay, so it's like, here's their plan. They want to make this virus, and then they infect people until they find someone who is resistant to the virus, and then they're going to make a cure out of that person. And then that person will be rich, and then they'll be rich because now instead of making a cure, they're going to dole out a suppressor to make people have to keep buying the virus over and over again. You're like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then if this is a real pharma company, they'd be doing this all in-house.
Mm-hmm.
You would get people voluntarily. You would hide it from the public. You wouldn't just release zombies everywhere yet. You wouldn't do that until you have a cure, right? That only makes sense. Like, you would only want to make this happen. It's evil, but... you know, if you think of this plan, you would do it so that you would already have your backup. Kind of like when you're playing Dead Rising and they have like the bees that infect people with the zombie stuff. There's already a drug that can suppress the virus. So like the big pharma guys, they've already figured that shit out. Like, they're missing the crucial step of, okay, make zombies, then then money. You're like, no, you have to... you have to know how to stop it, because now you're just releasing zombies everywhere. I didn't get it. I don't think they thought it through, Dan.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was quite thought through enough to be a strong narrative. But there are some redeeming qualities in terms of acting. Some of the camera work was really interesting. Although I will say, kind of a final critique of the camera work, there were...
So I hate to interrupt the podcast, but apparently Dan's audio just died right before he told us how he felt about the camera work. So we're never going to find out how he felt about it. I know that's the main reason everyone tunes in. They want to know how Dan feels about the camera work. But unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties. Now... I'm not too sure what I'm going to do now because we still have 3 minutes left for the episode. I guess I'll just let it play out with no Dan audio and I'll try to cut it as sharply as I can so you can at least hear me finishing my thoughts on the film. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the camera work. I apologize first and foremost. And Dan's views on it will be missed. But I'm sure he'll be back for the next episode. Okay, bye-bye. Here's my closing thoughts. A lot of interesting ideas in this. The quality of this film is way, way better than the web series, which is good. I thought the acting was pretty good throughout most of this film for what they had to work with. And it just didn't make any sense. And not enough zombies with shotguns. All right, Dan, I think we've come to the end. Ah, shit. Okay, I gotta do plugs. So, because Dan would normally do this, but his audio's dead. All right. So, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com if you'd like to email us. We are on @IndieFilmPod if you'd like to reach us on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Indie Film Review, facebook.com. We are hosted on Podbean @IndieFilmReview, Podbean. If you search Indie Film Review Podcast on Podbean, you should find us. Same thing with Google. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on everything you can think of that I know of. We are on that. Please tell other people about the show. Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, back to the other things we were saying. We're on the Necropodicon Network. If you visit necropodicon.com, you can click on the link to the Discord and come talk to us and say hello. And there are a lot of really great shows on the Necropodicon Network. One of those shows is the Indie Film Review. Like, Dan, have you heard of this? It's really cool. They like to review independent films. And there's just two really handsome young men who like to do the show. And they're very charismatic and sexy. And they'll lay you on a table and kind of like move their hands like slowly over your chest and chant magic incantations. And then cut away to something completely different. They love doing that. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Dan, you have the final word. Dan, you do not have the final word because your audio is dead. Yes, I am blaming this on you and not the technology we use to record the audio. Thank you. So what's Jared's final word? You know what? You know what I think Jared's final word is? Love yourself. But not too much.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Spencer from the Roleplay Guys hopping in here for a quick bumper. As you know, the Roleplaying Guys podcast is a proud member of the Necropodicon Podcast Network. This network is home to a lot of other great shows too. For example, you may be curious what a podcast sounds if it were run by an evil villain. You'd definitely love the show A Necessary Evil. Or maybe you really love watching indie films and you want to hear some funny dudes chat about them. Check out the Indie Film Review. What about a show that reminisces about the good old times of growing up, teasing the children that we used to be? Then check out the show Grow Out of It. The Necropodicon Network is a little Garden of Eden, producing the world with a wonderful crop of shows.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.